ESPN 97.7.
It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, sponsored by Trenton Interiors. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on ESPN 97.7 is also brought to you by your 26 area local State Farm agents, Brister's Smokehouse, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, and Gary Stokely, Keller Williams Realty, as well as hotline sponsor Fairway Cards. Now here's your host for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome into Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jonathan Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Chris Brister joining me this week to co-host Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Thanks for stepping in for Jason this week.
Bulldogs are rolling.
They are rolling. Bleed Tech Blue Radio brought to you by Trenton Interiors of Ruston. Go visit those guys in downtown Ruston, 111 North Trenton Street in the historic Rogers Furniture Building for all your interior decorating needs. Give us a call on the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline, 888-993-7762, or send us a text on that same number, 888-993-7762. The Bulldogs are indeed rolling. 56-13 over the hapless North Texas Mean Green. And it was 49-0 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, North Texas is somewhat of a dumpster fire, if you want to call them that.
That even may be a kind word.
Yeah, but it's good to see the Bulldogs just taking care of business and going through this part of their schedule and really not having a hiccup. It's good to see. You looked a couple of weeks ago and thought, you know, if they get through this stretch, you can look up before the Southern Miss game and be 8-3. And here we are, 7-3 with you know, go take care of business in 2 weeks. What a great time to have. Finally have a little rest this week.
Yeah, they needed a bye about 4 weeks ago because now everybody's pretty much healthy. I mean, you look at, of course, Nick Thomas is not. He missed last week with a knee sprain. I would imagine he'd be back for UTEP. But the question is, do you have to have him? Do you hold him out for Southern Miss?
Yeah, kind of a similar situation with Kenneth Dixon for a couple of weeks. You know, we've kind of held him out when he maybe could have played, maybe could have not. You held him out, and look what he's done the last two games. Man's just going beast mode.
Yes, Saturday, of course, Kenneth Dixon sets a Conference USA record, 6 touchdowns in a single game. Finished the day with, why can't I find it? Right there. Kenneth Dixon, 22 rushes, 195 yards, 6 touchdowns, 8.9 yards a carry.
Hold on. Did you just hear that? The cannon went off because I think Dixon just scored another touchdown.
The man's got jokes.
Yeah.
But, Louisiana Tech held North Texas to less than 100 yards. Tech's rushing defense is absolutely fantastic. And that's really where everything began last year, is they're able to stop the run, and the got a lot of pressure on a quarterback, and that's where a lot of the interceptions came. We haven't seen the interceptions to the number we did last year, but the pass defense is getting better and better every week.
Yeah, they're starting to play more like that Bulldog defense that you saw last year, getting a little bit more pressure. They're definitely getting more confidence up front than what they've had in the first part of the season, and it's a welcome sight to see.
And you look at a guy we've talked about him for 5 weeks straight with Jay Ferguson. He's really, to me, been the difference in the pass defense. All by himself because of his ability to rush the passer off the edge. Without him, I don't know where Tech would be as far as pass defense goes because they definitely struggled in that department early in the year. But Jeff Driscoll did not throw a single touchdown pass.
What would you have bet in 56 points with no Driscoll touchdown pass?
I would have called you a liar. There's no doubt about it. And Tech's defense, I was looking for this number, and now I have it. Tech's rush defense is now 7th in the country. Anytime you have a statistical ranking in the top 10, that's very, very impressive. Scoring offense, Tech's sitting at 13th. Pass offense, they're sitting at 17th. Total offense at 21st. Red zone offense at 41st. First downs on first down offense, 10th. They're moving the football. Nearly at will.
Well, I mean, week in, week out, you know, you hear about other coaches' game plans, or you see that their, you know, their primary focus is what? Stop Dixon. And have they been successful? Somewhat when they go fully to that. But then Jeff Driscoll, Trent Taylor show takes over. And I'll tell you what's been really nice to see the last couple of weeks is that deep ball to Carlos Henderson. You know,
he missed a couple of games after UTSA. He sustained an injury. An internal injury against UTSA.
Well, I mean, Driscoll's got a big arm. We know that. But Cody Sokol last year, it seemed like from game one, he and Carlos Henderson kind of had that compatibility where the deep ball was just there from game one. And throughout the first part of this year, Driscoll had missed a good many of those deep ball throws, just kind of overthrowing them. And part of that was due to Carlos being injured, but just not having the timing down between the two and the time that they were able to spend. But these last couple games, they've hooked up a couple times. It's been nice.
Yeah, you look at the numbers that Carlos Henderson was able to put up. He had one rush for 8 yards, and then how about five catches for 162 yards, 32.4 yards a catch. Once again, if you hear those kind of numbers, you expect touchdown numbers. But there were none.
They've been setting Dixon up a little bit.
They were setting up Dixon. I mean, even in the fourth quarter, Skip Holtz says that he asked Dixon, Do you want to get another one? And Boston Scott had a heck of a kick return that he was stopped at the 5-yard line. But Blake Martin got him himself a rushing touchdown on that drive.
It was good to see Blake get that touchdown. It was great. It was funny though, because we were making a joke in the stands. It was, you know, even on the the defensive touchdown, we were trying to get him to go down on the two, take a knee, so Dixon could get an extra touchdown.
Yeah, Bryson Abraham got his fourth touchdown of the year. He's just got a magnet in his hands.
Yeah, you know, some people just have a knack to get to the football, and he's one of those guys.
And, you know, it was a very bad snap by the deep snapper on a punt. And Zay Woods is the unsung hero of that play. The punter's about to get control of it, and Xavier takes him out of the play, dives on him, and because it's wet, he slides away from the ball. It squirts out. Bryson Abraham picks it up and runs it in for a touchdown. That's those kind of plays they don't show up in the stat sheet, but Xavier Woods was a heads up play, and without it, like I said, they would not have scored. And you know, one thing that I noticed, Chris, in that first drive, you didn't see Carlos Henderson. You didn't see Trent Taylor. They went with a heavy package. Now, they threw a ball out in the flats, or a little bubble screen to Marcus Gaines. He made somebody miss, and somebody knocked the ball out, and he fumbled it. But they're moving the ball down the field without their biggest playmakers in the passing game. That's good to see.
Now, the offensive lines is definitely gelled over the last few weeks as well. You know, we went through some injuries, kind of that, you know, the second half of the first part of the season. You went through a good many injuries.
Second half of the first part of the season.
If you can follow that, that just basically means like the fourth game of the year. but right when you would normally want to see a bye week somewhere in that area, we didn't have that bye week. So we shuffled around a lot of those linemen, and now they're starting to gel.
When you look at that offensive line, you lose Jens Danielsen at right tackle, but Shane Carpenter has played a lot of football this year. At center, Brunson's played, Mahaffey's played, Wixon's played. All three of them are likely back next year. I haven't heard for sure if Wixon will be given a red shirt, but I imagine they're going to seek one. He hasn't played since the Southern game. He had surgery on his shoulder. You bring all those guys back. You lose Josh Robinson. Everybody else is back. True freshman O'Shea Dugas at left guard. Darryl Brown is a junior. He'll be back next year at left tackle. With a brand new starting quarterback next year, whether it's Ryan Higgins, Price Wilson, Jamar Smith, or Keandre Woodsey from Parkway, if he comes in and just lights it up, my money's not on him. My money's on one of the previous three. But that makes a quarterback very comfortable when he's not getting knocked down every play.
Well, I heard you talking on the earlier show on Fox's show. What was it? Coach Holtz's first year here, and you know, we had Higgins back there
and Scotty Young.
Yeah, but they had, I mean, it was snap the ball, and before they would catch the ball, they were probably on the ground. How much, you know, for somebody who hasn't taken very many snaps in college football at that speed and that level, what does that do for your confidence when you can't even get the ball off? And then to get up behind the offensive line like the year before that, like Colby Cameron had, where he wasn't getting touched. Was not going to get touched because we know Colby wasn't the fleetest of foot quarterback.
That year was Jordan Mills, Oscar Johnson, Stephen Warner, Kevin Sayai, and Matt Shepard.
Yeah, my point is you put Drew Brees behind the offensive line we had in Coach Holtz's first year, and he's going to struggle.
Some would argue that the Saints' offensive line has looked like that early in the
It's not been good, but then you can point a lot of fingers at a lot of different positions on that team.
We were talking about that yesterday. It's tough being a Saints fan this year.
It's always been. Being a Saints fan, every year they do something to keep you in it. Okay, so we knew they probably weren't going to be very good this year. They start out like they did. All right, validated our thoughts. Then they win a few games. And then you look at the schedule, and it's like they can really win 10 games with some of these remaining games, and then they lose to Tennessee. Ugh.
I just
think the one Super Bowl was enough to get everybody really drawn in. That's all that was for.
Little tease. They call that, and that's what they call in the radio industry, but that's not a there's not a tease in professional football unless you're dealing with the Saints. We look back at North Texas. We're going to have Mike Craven on at 6:30 to talk little Conference USA football to recap what's going on across the conference.
Big weekend conference, a little shakeup.
Was a little shakeup.
MTSU throwing a little bone out there for the Bulldogs.
MTSU, maybe. MT, Middle Tennessee, Middle, whatever, whichever name they want to go by today, yeah. That might change tomorrow, beat Marshall in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. So that's a little shakeup. Then Marshall's going to take on Western Kentucky in the last game of the year, same day that Tech takes on Southern Miss. Should the Thundering Herd take down the Hilltoppers? There's some really weird mascots in this conference. The Mean Green, the Hilltoppers, the Thundering Herd, the Blue Raiders, and a couple of Owls. Sorry, that was a good old tangent there. But if Marshall's able to take down Western Kentucky, that will put a two-way tie atop the East, three-way tie to host. Marshall obviously would get the head-to-head victory on the East. And I think the tiebreaker goes to computer ranking.
That's correct.
So if Tech wins out, they should be ranked higher than Marshall.
Yeah, the way it was explained to me today, there's 7 different computer rankings that are factored in. They throw out the best, or they throw out the first, they throw out the last, and they do an average of the 5 in between. As of right now, it looked like Tech would have the slight advantage over Marshall. But what you have to take into account is Marshall then beating Western Kentucky.
Fair.
So does that flip the script a little bit? Who knows? I mean, it's BCS formula here.
We'll look at the way that Tech is on the computer ranking that we use, MasseyRatings.com. Tech is currently 60th in the country, and Marshall is 76th. So like you said, and then Western Kentucky sitting at 50th, they get that victory. Although Massey says that Western Kentucky has a 70% chance of victory, so it's not likely. It'll be an upset.
But who thought Western Kentucky was going to beat Marshall last year too, and they went into Huntington, won that game.
No arguments for me on that one. And while we're here, Tech 93% chance of victory next Saturday against UTEP, and then Southern Miss 81% chance of victory in Ruston the final week of the season. A little programming note while we're talking about the final 2 weeks. We will not have a show next week. Bulldog basketball will be at home next Tuesday night. So I imagine the majority of our listeners will be either tuned in to Dave Nitz and Jack Thigpen on Z107.5. And then we're not going to have a show Tuesday of Thanksgiving week. So stay tuned for a podcast version of Bleed Tech Blue Radio from Jason and I, or hey, you might be Chris Brister. Who knows? That Chris Brister guy's decent at this thing called radio. So we might get him in on that one as well. Let's take this break. This segment brought to you by your 26 area local State Farm agents. Give those guys a call for your insurance needs. And as always, we're brought to you by Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston, 111 North Trenton Street. Go see those guys. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7, brought to you by Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston, 255-7698 in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. Go check those folks out. Give us a call on the Fairway Carts Amendment hotline or send us a text on the text line, 888-993-7762. Give us your thoughts on Tech football as they are rolling. Or even thoughts about basketball. Those guys start Saturday, or Friday night, I should say, against Millsaps. Big game. Millsaps of Jackson, Mississippi. Go check the Bulldog basketball team. Now, we're going to talk a little basketball after we talk to Coach Holtz at 7 o'clock. Is that where I've got it set? Actually, 6:45. Before we talk to Coach Holtz, I've got us talking a little basketball. So, stay tuned for that. We'll go to some questions that we were asked on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. All right, not Bleed Tech Blue Radio. That's what we're on right now. BleedTechBlue.com. Possible bowl destinations. There's
everybody loves that. This time of year. Where are we playing?
And you know this about me. One of my favorite. Not one of my least favorite things to talk about, especially early in the season, because it is pointless early in the season to guess where somebody's going to play in a bowl game. It gets less pointless now.
Yeah, but I could live off hypotheticals. Love them.
You like hypotheticals?
One of my favorite. Me and my son, he's six, and we go down the road talking about hypotheticals. Now, he can come up with some of the craziest hypotheticals.
He's a six-year-old.
I love them. Love hypotheticals.
So what do you think, Chris? I mean, to me, it seems like Hart or Dallas Bowl is likely the top option.
To my understanding, win the conference championship, pick the bowl you want to go to. Is that kind of what you?
That's what they say. But supposedly last year, that's not what happened. Tech was told that you're going to Hart or Dallas, and Marshall was told you're going to Florida.
My understanding is if Tech was to win the conference championship, say we get there, we win it, play Western Kentucky or Marshall, I think you would probably choose Heart of Dallas Bowl. That's going to give you your best opportunity. Well, Tech did really well there last year with ticket sales. It wasn't great weather, but Tech did really well with ticket sales. I'm sure Dallas and Zaxby's and the Heart of Dallas Bowl was happy with our turnout. It was a good game. We won the game. We beat, you know, a good big conference opponent.
Big Ten.
But now you're going to be looking at, you know, some of these Big 12 teams that have the tie-in this year will most likely fill it because you know they would love to host a Big 12 team. Take a Texas, say they get to six wins. Take a West Virginia, may burn some couches, but wouldn't that be fun to see?
Dave Nitz would be conflicted.
Oh, he'd be wouldn't know. I guess he'd wear his Huggins windsuit. I don't know.
For those wondering, Dave Nitz is a huge West Virginia fan, the voice of Louisiana Tech, and his ringtone is Country Roads.
Yeah, that's right. I'd forgotten. But then look at some of the other bowl destinations. Say they don't win the championship. Where do they go?
Or they win one of the last two.
Win the last two.
Or lose one of the last two, I should
say. Well, then I think, you know, conference does what's best for what they think are going to be ticket sales and traveling and whatnot. I think
And Tech still could end up in Heart of Dallas.
They still could. That's absolutely correct. Because
Tech's going to sell more tickets to the Heart of Dallas Bowl than anybody else.
They are. But, you know, say Western Kentucky or Marshall wins it, they may want to go to a destination bowl, more of a reward for their players. They may see the Bahamas or Boca Raton as more of a reward. Because realistically, are they going to get many fans to Dallas? Probably not. Plus, I think once basketball season starts, Western Kentucky kind of turns off the TV of football.
They don't watch a lot of football to begin with.
They just go straight basketball. But, you know, all right, that being said, they don't play in the Heart of Dallas Bowl. You're probably looking at a New Orleans Bowl. From a fan standpoint, that's a good destination. I don't know about your opponent.
And the date is what?
It's the 19th of December.
One of the early bowls.
It's the, I think, the earliest bowl, if not one of it's definitely one of the first few bowls.
So your viewer rating would be big.
Yeah, people have not had football for a couple of weeks, and they're going to be anxious to, you know, a lot of people bet on bowls. They're going to be tuning in to see that game. But you're probably going to be playing it, well, you would be playing a Sun Belt team, and probably not even the champion of the Sun Belt. You'd probably be playing, I don't know, Arkansas State, App State, one of those teams.
Roy Lang had an interesting tweet and story this morning in the Shreveport Times.
I liked it.
He says he's speculating Louisiana Tech, Virginia Tech in the Independence Bowl.
Va Tech, La Tech.
Now, I don't know this for a fact, but Roy's been around the block in Shreveport. That is likely not a shot in the dark. That's an educated guess from talking to people.
Yeah, but then I think also...
But it's still very, very early.
Yeah, Missy Setters,
yeah,
that's chairman of the I Bowl. They haven't even started reaching out to teams yet to gauge interest or to see what they might be looking at.
That'll start happening after this week.
Yeah.
With this two weeks left.
Right. But definitely just a guess on Roy's part. But him being around that area and knowing the people he knows, probably a pretty educated guess. Hey, you know, I know a lot of people have negative thoughts on the I Bowl. I personally, it's a bowl game. I would like to play it. But if it's Virginia Tech, that's a prime opponent.
Frank Beamer's
last game, probably. Yeah. Man.
My wife's a Virginia Tech alum.
Beamer ball. And you know they're probably going to travel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Although they may not be. This has been a pretty disappointing. But
it's Beamer's last
go out. But to see Frank the Tank. Yeah. I call him Frank the Tank. Nobody else does, but I'm pretty much the only one that does.
Do we know the date of that game? It's usually around the 28th.
I thought that I looked and it was like the 22nd.
Okay, because it's typically an after Christmas bowl, kind of in between Christmas and New Year's. They could have moved it this year for interest. I know a couple of years ago they either played it on New Year's Eve or
the Camping World Independence Bowl. Their website is campingworldindependencebowl.com. You got to take a nap after writing all that in the address bar. I'm pulling up the website as we speak. They don't have the fastest website in the world, but as soon as it loads, I will let you know. But you asked me in a text today before we came on the air. You presented the hypothetical of Virginia Tech, Louisiana Tech, or Louisiana Tech, Arkansas State in the New Orleans Bowl. And my response was
Virginia Tech any day of the week.
And what was the other part? Anybody but the Sun Belt.
Anybody but the Sun Belt.
That's how I feel. I may be alone, and John says he's there with you. All right, so it's the 26th. The day after Christmas. That's
so
a bad
date.
It'd
be the same day as the Heart
Saturday
of Dallas Bowl.
Afternoon.
Heart of Dallas Bowl is the 26th as well.
It's the day after Christmas as well.
That's a bad date. Both of those dates are bad.
Yeah, but I tell you what.
For this guy, especially traveling out of town across to the East Coast for Christmas.
It is a Saturday afternoon.
So it could be worse.
Which is easier than the Dallas Bowl, which was an 11 o'clock kick last year? 10 or 11 o'clock?
It's got on here 4:45 for the Indy.
Yeah.
So
I mean, that's doable.
Saturday,
I mean,
at 5 p.m., yeah.
Yeah, I mean, long as the roads are, you never know what you're going to get as far as that time of year with weather.
Kind of like Forrest Gump says.
Yeah.
About a box of chocolates.
Which, a box of chocolates is, in my opinion, better than the Sun Belt. sorry.
Ayo! You went there.
I do like New Orleans. I think that would be a fun bowl game. I think it would be awesome to be walking down Canal or in the quarter eating Cafe Du Monde and seeing a sea of blue. I think that would be great. It's the 19th. It's before Christmas. You don't have to worry about travel. You know you're going to get back in plenty of time to go where you need to go.
From a date perspective, I like the New Orleans Bowl.
A date and a destination, it's great.
Yeah. The second post from Bobby, has there been a much talk about the young quarterbacks in practice? Is Jamar Smith playing baseball? I understand that Jamar Smith will be playing baseball. This time of the season, the young quarterbacks are playing scout team. Your starter, Jeff Driscoll, and your backup, Ryan Higgins, are getting the bulk of the snaps, with Driscoll getting 80% of the snaps. You're giving Higgins some snaps just in case something bad should happen on Saturday. We'll talk about that basketball question later. We got a smart aleck asking what he should do this weekend, go skiing or snowshoeing in Colorado. Nobody cares about your snow problems.
Colorado.
Yeah, Tech alum in Colorado. You are jealous of that?
I like Colorado. I do. I love snow skiing.
I've never been there. Never snow skied. Here's a adult asking a question about red shirts. At this point, to me, that's one of the hardest things to keep up with on this roster. I wonder if Skip Holtz knows how many freshmen he's played.
A lot.
There's not many that haven't. I'll have to look. Well, I'll ask Skip that question. At 7 o'clock, how many freshmen have actually played, and how many he still plans on redshirting? Jacquees Dancy, I would imagine in hindsight they probably wish they could have redshirted him, but that ship has sailed, as they say. Former co-host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio asked this question, Clayton Chandler. Top five positions that would benefit from a graduate transfer. His top five. I'll give you a second to think about your top five. Middle linebacker, an edge pass rusher, tight end, strong safety, running back, in that order. I see his point on all three, or all five, I should say. Middle linebacker, because you lose Nick Thomason to graduation this year. Edge pass rusher, you lose Vontarius Dora. Tight end, you lose one of your tight ends, and you really don't have a true tight end on the roster. Strong safety, because Kentrell Bryce leaves, and the backup behind him has not looked all that promising. And then running back, because, well, Kenneth Dixon and Blake Martin leave this year.
Yeah, I would out of his, I think it's a good list.
It's hard to argue any of those.
No, I would say it was great. The only thing I would do, I'd probably flip running back and tight end. I just see a bigger loss at running back for next year. I don't know that we utilize the tight end near as much as we use a good running back. So
since Tech doesn't use tight ends all that much, and they've loaded up on some offensive linemen in recent years, and even more so, I'd probably put left tackle on that list because of depth at left tackle next year. But other than that, I would take tight end off and put left tackle there.
Yeah, it's tough to, we say we don't utilize the tight end enough, because it's really hard to argue with kind of how the offense is rolling right now and saying we need to utilize it more. But, yeah, everybody likes to see a tight end every now and then, though.
Good old Jimmy Graham, and I'm not even going to try to say that new tight end for the Saints last name.
Nope.
The Samoan guy. Every time one of those broadcasters says it, I'm like, I think you're right, but...
No, they are right.
Who would know?
Yeah, no, they're right. I'm not arguing.
And then somebody asking, will Thomason be ready by UTEP? I think he should be.
It kind of leads back into it. Does he have to be? But I was just... Before he kind of got nicked up, I just... kind of went on about what kind of football he had started playing.
Oh my gosh!
That was a big question mark for me going into the year, was our linebacker play. And I think the first little bit of the season, we'll call it the first half of the first few games, it was kind of a weak spot. But he's stepped up.
Kansas State's where he really it flipped for him.
He did. He has stepped up these last several games and just become a ball player.
I ask you this: had he stayed healthy? And I mean, he's had two shoulder surgeries since he's been here. Redshirted 1 year, and then missed last year to a shoulder injury. Does he play in front of Tony Johnson last year? Probably.
I wouldn't see why not. I mean, I don't know. But then again,
Tony Johnson was a pretty good middle linebacker.
Yeah, but like you say, at the Kansas State game, it just something finally clicked, and he started becoming the player that he is now. So was he that player? You just never know. Something's got to click inside a person to become a player.
This segment brought to you by this guy, Chris Brister, and his Smokehouse. Brister's Smokehouse on Cooktown Road in Ruston. As always, we're brought to you by Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston. They're going to do a kitchen for me.
Hey, I went by that. We walked by that place when we were
does it look like, does
doing
it look,
Halloween. It was fantastic.
Does it look like Ruston, Louisiana? And I don't mean that in a derogatory term. It's just like walking into Raw in Ruston.
No, it was great. No, it was fantastic. It was a great showroom.
Ronnie Walker and his team, and then even Mayor Hollingsworth before Ronnie Walker, got to give credit where credit is due. The downtown area of Ruston is one of the few of a town this size that is not dead, and credit goes to the leadership of Ruston. And Trenton Interiors is one of those that's keeping downtown thriving. Go check those guys out for all your interior decorating needs. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7, brought to you by Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston, 111 North Trenton Street in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. Let's go to the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline and my good friend Mike Craven of BirdsUp.com. How's it going, my friend?
Pretty good, sir. How you doing?
Doing wonderful. You told me something earlier today in a text that you're just ready for the season to be over. It's been a tough one for UTSA.
Yeah, for me, it's not even a UTSA thing. Is it? I got a lot of hats on. High school playoffs here in Texas are getting going Friday, so it's always a grind during football season. Around November, you start seeing Thanksgiving and Christmas creep up, so it gets long really quickly. But yeah, UTSA season's not helping for sure.
Well, you look at. We're going to end this segment with you talking a little bit of UTEP a week early for Louisiana Tech. But any surprises for you? Were you surprised that Marshall lost to Middle Tennessee Saturday?
I was a little bit. I thought Middle Tennessee would be better throughout the year this year, going into the year, than they had played. So before the year, I thought Middle Tennessee could knock off Marshall. As the season went on, I didn't think it was going to happen. But it was interesting to see, and I think it proves that side of the conference is definitely a lot stronger and deeper than the West side.
I would agree with that. And while we're on that note, you've seen Southern Miss. Is Southern Miss for real, or have they played a weak schedule?
I think Southern Miss is the second best team in the West. I don't know if that makes them any good or not. I just think the West is that bad. You know, outside of Louisiana Tech, you know, Rice is down this year, and UTEP, UTSA, North Texas are obviously not very good. And so I think by default, Southern Miss becomes the second best team in the West. I just don't really know what that means right now at this point.
And you look at that Eastern Division and West Kentucky, Marshall, and Middle Tennessee, and even, I mean, Florida International's not terrible. They've got some bright spots. So I'm with you. That Eastern Division, even I guess the Western Division last season kind of surprised people. We all expected the Eastern Division to be far and away better, but the Western Division was better last year than it is this year.
Yeah, I think if you were doing a draft, you know, out of the first four teams you would take out of Conference USA, three of them would be in the East, and arguably four of them, if, you know, between Southern Miss and FIU, like you were saying. So, yeah, it's pretty lopsided right now. And just as a whole, Conference USA is really top-heavy. There's some really good teams up at the top. Like, I think Western Kentucky and Louisiana Tech are really good teams. I think Marshall's still a good team. But down at the bottom, there are some really bad football teams in the conference. And so as a whole, it kind of brings it down from a perception standpoint around the country.
Well, while we're on that spot about the bad parts of the Western Division, UTEP is, of course, Tech's next opponent after Tech's bye week this week. Is there any way that UTEP can give Louisiana Tech a run for their money?
No, not without Aaron Jones. When their running back Aaron Jones got injured earlier in the year against Texas Tech, that pretty much ended UTEP's chances of competing for, you know, any type of division crown or bowl berth. They were really reliant on Aaron Jones. I think it's something like 60-something% of their offense ran through him. So when he got injured, it was pretty much done for him. They've had trouble finding a quarterback and a consistent running game. So I think Louisiana Tech gets through that one pretty easily just because UTEP's not capable of scoring a lot of points.
You talk about that, where they're not capable of scoring a lot of points. In conference games, their offense has, in total, scored 82 points. And, of course, Louisiana Tech scored 56 in one game last week. To put it in perspective, Tech has scored 242 points in its conference games, six games. Now, granted, they played one more game than UTEP, but UTEP's not going to score, but what, maybe 20 this week? So it'll be 102 to 242, total points four. And Tech has given up less points in six games than UTEP's given up in five games.
Yeah, it erases the margin of error. You know, and I see that at UTSA. UTSA's offense isn't very good at putting up big chunks of points or coming up with easy points with big plays, and so it erases all margin of error. Your defense can play a relatively good game, and you can still lose by 7 or 10 points just because they're on the field for 40 minutes a game or against 90 plays because the offense is going three and out so much, and that's what's happening at UTEP right now.
If we look at UTSA, I mean, they've got two quarterbacks that are actually pretty decent in Sturm and Bogenschutz. What's the option next year when you've got both of them that are underclassmen?
That's going to be the question going into the spring. You know, right now, Sturm's played good the last 2 weeks. It's actually, ironically, been the UTSA defense that's been a problem the last 2 weeks in losses to North Texas and then last week to Charlotte, so, or to Old Dominion. It's not a deep team. So it'll be interesting to see what they do at quarterback. But in my opinion, it's the offensive line and how they create big plays with their special teams and what they do schematically on offense in the offseason. That's a bigger question than the quarterback. Because those are the major problems right now. The offensive line is just bad, just frankly bad. And until that gets fixed, we're not going to be able to do much offensively, no matter who's the quarterback.
I mean, you look at what UTSA's record is at home, and it's 0-4, and they're 1-4 on the road. But they seem to play better in the Alamo Dome. What is it about the Alamo Dome that makes the Roadrunners play better at home?
I think for this team, it's youth. The last couple of years, they've actually been just as good, if not better, on the road. So I think for this team right now, it's just youth, and a lot of times young guys play better at home, just like role players in the NBA usually play better at home in the playoffs. So I think right now it's just youth and not having to travel a lot of times and getting guys' heads. So I think right now it's just youth, but they're not playing good anywhere. So, you know, I don't think it makes that big of a difference. Right now they're just an inconsistent football team that's growing up on the field. A lot of guys with, you know, don't have any experience at all. So right now it's a growing process, I think. I don't think it matters if they're playing at home or away, really.
And you told me in a text that you don't expect UTSA to fire Coker at the end of the year. How many years does he have left on his contract?
I think he's through 2018. I think he has an option past that. But I think he's expressed interest. He wants to go through 2018. If he looks at it, I think next year is a big year for UTSA as a football program moving forward. If next year they can rebound and they can look back at this year and say, like, hey, it was a rebuilding year. We were really young. We had some injuries. But look, we're doing better this year. Then I think people will forget about the problems over the last 2 years and just chalk it up to being a new program. If it continues next year, there's really no more excuses left. It'll be interesting to see if Coker decides for himself to step down, because right now I don't think UTSA is in a position to fire him, even if they wanted to. And right now they definitely don't want to.
And you look at North Texas, of course, they already have an opening. Lincoln Riley, who many say did indeed interview for the job, and then he comes out publicly and says that he's not a candidate for the job. Do you think that is bad for a program and it's in the perception of the program?
No, not really. I mean, before Saban went back to Alabama, he was denying it when he was the coach of the Dolphins. So, you know, I think that's just part of the game. There's a lot of smoke. You know, you just kind of have to sit through it. And people are going to lie on both sides because there's contracts involved and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's just part of the game. I think North Texas, they went head coach at a smaller P5 school before there with McCarney. I think they'd be good to go after a young shot offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator, or even look at the high school ranks in Texas. Just to kind of do something different and kind of get a little juice there in North Texas, because right now there's no buzz or no real momentum or excitement within that program at all.
Well, Mike, I really appreciate you joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Like always, good stuff. We'll talk to you soon, and we'll do it again soon.
Absolutely, guys. Have fun. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Craven from birdsup.com talking a little Conference USA football. I almost sounded like that guy, that Bill Haysen fellow that does the Conference USA updates. Today in Conference USA. Has anybody else heard those ads?
Yeah, they're fantastic.
They are fantastic. I'm Bill Haysen.
You'll be there one day, Ford. About another 30 years.
Oh, goodness gracious. Let's take this break. Other side of the break, a little Tech basketball as the Bulldogs will get really kicked off, or tipped off, for lack of a better term, Friday inside the Tech. This segment brought to you by National Jewelry in Ruston, and also brought to you by Trenton Interiors of Ruston. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. We're brought to you by Trenton Interiors of Ruston, the title sponsor of Bleed Tech Blue Radio this season. In downtown Ruston, 111 North Trenton Street, in the historic Rogers Furniture Building, 255-7698. Little basketball talk. Give us a call on the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline, 888-993-7762, or send us a text on that same number, 888-993-7762. Actually, Rick Diamond sent us a couple of them. Sorry, I missed these. Do you think the Sun Belt would be much lesser than Tech? Do you think the Sun Belt opponent would be much lesser than Tech? I think that's a bait of a question.
What? Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say yes.
That wasn't a far limb you went out on there.
No. I mean, what? Okay. Could no. All right. Arkansas State, they have a pretty decent little team. Good program up there. You know, Georgia Southern, maybe.
But Arkansas State lost to a really bad Missouri team at home.
I know. We're stretching. I mean, to try to make a game of it, could. That's why they play the game.
Georgia Southern would be a good game because they play the triple option.
But, oh, that would be terrible.
Terrible.
I hate watching that game.
If I was a head coach in college football, that's probably what I would run. We're not friends anymore, are we?
Gosh,
it worked awfully well for Navy this past week.
It works well for, and even Georgia Tech does it pretty well. They're having a not so great year this year.
I'm a fan of the game. I don't like it. It runs the clock. It doesn't extend the game. It's just you look up and it's in the fourth quarter. It's the same play left or right every time.
And then Rick Diamond says I would go to the New Orleans Bowl any day of the week. Dallas isn't enticing or exciting enough to draw my attention unless wrestling is involved.
Well, he's a wrestling fan, but a football fan's like Dallas.
Wrestling.
Yeah. It's enticing to go to New Orleans, yes. Enticing to watch a football game in the Superdome, yes.
And Dallas becomes old hat for people in North Louisiana. I grew up in New Orleans. New Orleans is kind of old hat for me. but it's not for most people up here.
I guess I think what I like about New Orleans is it's so tight and together. So when you're in downtown New Orleans,
you can walk anywhere,
but you see everybody. When we were in Dallas, you know, we went out after the game and went to some pubs or went to have some lunch other places after the game and dinner, and you just didn't see anybody. When you went out, people noticed that you were wearing Tech clothes and that you played in the game, but it's so spread out. You didn't see any other
New Orleans
Tech
is
fans.
A much more intimate city.
Yeah, you're gonna run into several people you know in New Orleans.
Another one right here would rather New Orleans Bowl personally think it, we would bring a hell of a crowd.
I'm not going to argue. The only knock I have on the New Orleans Bowl is playing a Sun Belt team. That is the only knock I have.
And that's on the Fairway Carts of Minden text line, 888-993-7762. That was from None of Your Business. Fair enough. Go a little bit to some basketball here. The big news around Louisiana Tech basketball this week is Janiya White has been cleared medically to play.
Yeah, that surprised me. I'd kind of... You know, just from what I'd been hearing, kind of thought he could have been done.
Forever.
Ever.
Forever.
You know, and the powers that be, if he's ready to play, that's great. We need him.
Now, he's academically ineligible for a couple of games. He'll be back. He and Jacoby Boykins will be back for the Grambling game.
Yeah, I went to the scrimmage the other night, and we're thin. I mean, there was only 8 people dressed. So extremely thin, and definitely thin in the big position.
When you got Kedar Davis playing the 4 a lot, that's you're struggling.
Yeah. Now what I will say is I looked up late in the second half, and we were shooting 76% from the field, which is nuts.
On the perimeter, Tech's gonna be very good. Are they gonna be as good at point guard as they were last year? Probably not.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough to be as good as you are at point guard,
but. Shooting-wise from the field, well, they'll be better. I was talking to Jamie Eagles, who joined us last week. The thing about last year was you had Raheem Appleby, who is he's a volume scorer. He's going to take a lot of shots, but he's going to score because he's a confident shooter and he knows the shot's eventually going to fall. But you didn't know week in and week out what was his shooting percentage going to be for a given night. I don't think we're going to experience that this year. With Eric Conkle's team, you never know until the season starts. But I think that's going to be somewhere that Tech improves. You look, and then to make things matters worse at the post position, Merrill Holden's out for a month or so with his broken finger. So Tech is struggling in the post position area, but the good news is. They'll eventually, or by Grambling, they'll get Janiya White back. And then a few weeks after that, they'll get Merrill Holden back, and they'll be a whole lot better in the post.
Yeah, it'd be sunshine pumper a little bit.
Pump him.
Yeah, late in the season. I mean, he's going to be out 6 weeks, whatever they say.
6 to 8.
Yeah, so who's going to have fresh legs come conference play?
Merrill Holden.
Yeah, so, you know, may not have quite the experience getting there, but he's definitely going to be fresh.
And we're going to have basketball tickets to give away on Bleed Tech Blue Radio this year. The ones that we don't give away, we'll give to the sports company to give away. I don't have the Millsaps tickets this week. Sorry, they're sitting on my coffee table in my house. I'll try to get them to the studio before Friday so that Sean and the guys can give it away during the drive time show. So stay tuned to ESPN Radio 97.7. For that, let's take this early break. We'll have Skip Holtz at 7 o'clock. If we can't get him early, we'll extend the break. But we'll be back with Skip Holtz here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. This segment brought to you by Pierce Service Company and Gary Stokely, Keller Williams Realty. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7, brought to you by Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston, 111 North Trenton Street in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. Joining us on the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline, my friend Skip Holtz. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing great, Jonathan. How you doing tonight?
Doing wonderful. How's the bye week treating you?
You know what? It was great. We got a nice little practice in today. We're spending this week as a staff a little bit in self-scout, kind of evaluating ourselves to see what our opponents see, and then also spending a little bit of time on UTEP, a little bit of time on Southern Miss, and then working with our younger players an awful lot out of practice right now. So just kind of a spring ball type of thing for a lot of the red shirts and a lot of the freshmen to give them some extra work to bring them along for the role that they're going to play coming down the stretch, and also for those guys with the red shirt and for the future. So it's certainly not an open week. You know, people want to call it an open week. We just don't play on Saturday, but still there's a lot to get done this week.
You talk about those red shirts and you talk about your freshmen. Do you have a number of how many freshmen you've played this year? Because somebody asked me that question, and I couldn't come up with it because you played so many.
I think it's 10 true freshmen, and I think it's 17 true or redshirt freshmen.
So you're,
is what we've played this year.
So you're still able to redshirt another 10 true freshmen.
We redshirted, I believe it's 15. I believe it's 13. I believe it's 13 because there was 25 in the signing class, but there were two upperclassmen transfers. So there's 13 true freshmen that are redshirting right now.
How good does that feel to be able to redshirt the majority of your class?
Oh, I would love to be able to redshirt at all of them, but you know, when you look at the need right now with Brandon Derman, and you start to talk about the role that guys like Trey Spencer and Aaron Robertson, Farron Williams, you look at the role that O'Shea Dugas, McCready, the role a lot of these guys are playing, they've been invaluable for us, not just because they've created depth, but also special teams. And I would love to redshirt all of them. But I think there's some really talented players that are redshirting. I mean, Ephraim Kitchen had to sit out this year because of an injury, and I think he's going to be really good. I think there's a lot of talent in that freshman class, but it's always nice to have the opportunity to redshirt those guys, give them a year to get in the weight room, put on weight, get acclimated to everything academically, athletically, socially, before they ever have to step on the field for you. So it's a good feeling, but they also, as we went out and practiced with a bunch of them today, you know, they've been running offenses off of the card since they've been here, and now all of a sudden they're getting thrown in and hearing offensive plays and defensive plays, and ooh, this is a little bit different. So this is all good work that we're getting right now in the open day, with as late as it is, and it'll be great when we have the opportunity to get some bowl practice in as well.
And ideally, I know you would rather have your bye week or open date in the middle of the season, but that you weren't so lucky to have that, and so you couldn't take the midpoint of the year and evaluate and say what do we need to improve on, but let's do it with two games to go, or four games to go.
Hopefully four.
where is the team right now, and where do they need to improve the most?
You know, the open day being 10 games into it is hard. It's a grind. I mean, it is a grind. And when I first looked at it, it's like, golly, when are we going to be able to take a break? But when you look at the way that we've been playing and the things we've been doing, we need it this time right now. And I honestly, the thing that most of our starters need more than anything is rest. We got to get them healthy. There's a lot of guys that are playing with a lot of bumps and bruises and getting treatment every morning to be able to make it through. And so we've got to spend this week. We've got to get them a little bit healthy. It's one of the biggest things we need to do. And now that we've been 10 weeks and we made it this far, I'm glad we have it late. But if I had my druthers, I certainly would pick it in the middle of the year, where you really had an opportunity to develop a lot of these freshmen before they had to play such a significant role for you.
Early in the year, your offensive line was a little questionable. I think you'd agree with that. But they're coming into their own of late, and then you've got a guy that I think you might be able to redshirt, and Kirby Wixon. You return if that's the case, you return a lot of them for next season. I know you don't want to necessarily look forward to next season with four games to play, but how do you think the offensive line looks going forward?
Well, we've spent a lot of time looking forward this week, because one of the things that we've been spending some time on while we've been in the office as a staff is recruiting. And when you have a chance to look at recruiting, it's not just looking at recruits, because the way it is now, you're looking at senior recruits, you're looking at junior recruits, you're looking at sophomore film. I mean, you're constantly evaluating where these young men are. So you've got to know what your future looks like and where your scholarship numbers are and how many you need to take and who's coming back and how many starters do you need and do you think you need to go get a junior college player maybe to help supplement a position of need right away where you need a starter to walk in. So those are all the things that we've been looking at this whole week. And I look at this offensive line, and I think Darryl Brown has really been playing well. And even though it's been hard with O'Shea Dugas as a true freshman who got thrown in for his first collegiate start ever at Western Kentucky, I think it's been, he's going to return. You've got Brunson who's been coming back. Mahaffey's been playing very well at center. Kirby Wixon returns. You've got Shane Carpenter has played an awful lot at right tackle. Deontay McCready has gotten a lot of work as the backup right guard and gotten some time this year on the field. And you start to look at it, and I don't know what that number was, but I think I just named 8 or 9 guys that are all coming back, and that means that, you're going to lose Jens Danielsen and Josh Robinson, who've really been good football players for us and have really gotten better as the year has gone on, and I think they've really been playing well. But I like the numbers that we have, and then being able to add a couple red shirts that we have in that class, along with, it looks like we're probably going to end up signing 5 offensive linemen to get to the number that we want to get to. And so we'll find 5 linemen, and we'll probably take 4 high schools and maybe take 1 junior college, just so we don't have 5 all in the same class.
And that, how much does that, what does that mean to your quarterback next season? Because you'll either have Ryan Higgins, who started very little in college football, or even 2 other guys that, or even 3 other guys that have never started.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have a little bit more upperclassmen, and that's one of the reasons that we've taken a transfer the last 2 years, is I just didn't feel like we had enough experience at the quarterback position. But now you're going to have Ryan Higgins is going to be a senior. You're going to have Price is going to be a redshirt sophomore. You've got Jamar is going to be a redshirt freshman. And then you'll have a freshman coming in as well. And so I think, we're not going to go take another transfer quarterback. We did that 2 years in a row, and it's worked out really good, but we did it because we needed an upperclassman. And I feel like we've gotten a couple guys in the system now that we're going to take our quarterback from within and continue to develop and grow and build them. And so I think for our quarterback, it'll certainly be nice, because you're going to be playing a guy without a lot of experience. And I think for right now, as you're going into this, it's going to be nice to have an offensive line that's going to have not only the experience that this one has, but a lot of the youthful talent that's going to be on that offensive line as well.
And then you lose Jeff Driscoll, of course, who has been will go down as one of the best quarterbacks, honestly, to play at this institution, even albeit 1 year. And then Kenneth Dixon, arguably the best running back to ever play at the institution. How do you replace that backfield?
Well, I think, when you look at Kenneth is really special. There's no doubt about it. But the thing that you're also losing, the Blake Martin, you're losing 2 fullbacks that have really been playing well for us, and Marlon Seats and Ricky Jones. And so you've got 4 guys in your backfield that you're going to lose. But yeah, I really like, it's one of the reasons that we took the red shirt off to Jaquese Dancy, is for him to play some this year as a freshman. He's played a lot on special teams. It's been unfortunate that he's been in that same boat as Jared Kraft with his wrist. But Jared Kraft is going to be back. Boston Scott has really been playing well lately. Jaquese Dancy is going to have played about 200 plays on special teams this year as a true freshman. So it's not like you're going to have an empty cupboard. You're going to have 3 guys there that have played football here that are not walking into a blind. And then obviously you're going to sign 1 or 2 coming in, because I think that's going to be definitely be a position you got to fill. But that's one of the advantages to bringing in high school players. When you look at guys like Jared Kraft and Boston Scott and Jaquese Dancy that are young players that have been in the program and even though they may not have had the opportunity to play that that role of being just the every down starter, because that's one that Kenneth has owned. I think there's a lot of talent in that room still.
And you look, how have your two transfer cornerbacks looked on your scout team this year, in Jackson and Lewis?
You know, they're both very, very talented, and we said when we took them a year ago that we would rather have a young transfer who was here for a year, kind of like a Paul Turner, who was here for a year in our system, going through everything, learning what to do, than I would go take a junior college player. So knowing that you're going to graduate three of your four starters in the secondary, we took Ronald Lewis and Jarrell Jackson a year ago. But not only did you take those two as upperclassmen, but as we talked about a minute ago, you took a lot of guys that are playing. You have three true freshmen that are playing in the secondary this year, and Trey Spencer, Aaron Robertson, and Theron Williams. And then you've got guys redshirting like James Jackson and Ephraim Kitchen. And then you've got the two that you talked about with the transfers in Lewis and Jackson. And so all of a sudden you look at it and go, you know, we will have more depth in our secondary, and you still return guys like Cedric Cooper and Xavier Woods. So I like the work that all these young guys are getting right now. I think there's going to be a lot of talent in the secondary next year, just like I think there's going to be a lot of talent on the offensive line at running back. It's just not going to have the experience that this year's team has had.
Something that kind of goes under the radar in the for us that cover recruiting, that probably goes too much under the radar, is walk-ons. Is that a hard spot for coaching, and it really has become a very important aspect of recruiting?
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's definitely it's a huge part of it. And you just look at the number of players that we put on scholarship the last couple of years. A lot of these guys that we've mentioned here tonight, you know, when we talked a little bit, we haven't got a lot into the young receivers, but, you know, you look at even a guy like Connor Smith was a walk-on. You look at the two fullbacks we talked about, and Marlon Seeds and Ricky Jones were walk-ons. I mean, you go through over the last couple of years, we've put a number of walk-ons on scholarship that I think are going to be outstanding players. And so I think there's a young man that recruiting is not an exact science, and there are young men out there that maybe start to blossom a little bit in their senior year, and you may not have a scholarship available at that point in time, but you try and get them into your program. And for the number of players that have, I bet there, I don't know what that exact number is off the top of my head, but I bet over the last 3 years we've put 12 to 14 players that have been walk-ons on scholarship, and I think there's more of them in the wings. When you look at guys that are playing right now, I think Boston Scott will be a scholarship player here. Aaron Brown will be a scholarship player here. I go through, I think Matt Yadarga will be. Michael Mims just went on scholarship this year. So I think the walk-on spot is a huge niche, that there are some young men that maybe develop late, that if they walk onto a program, they certainly have a chance to earn a scholarship.
You talk about another walk-on in Bobby Holly, a local kid, yeah. And he could be an asset for you next season at fullback.
Well, he will be, and we talked about those two guys that are leaving, and he got a lot of work out there today, and Bobby Holly will be a scholarship. Well, Bobby Holly already is a scholarship player here as a walk-on. I think he is, and he's been placed on because he's going to play a valuable role, and even though he's redshirt for us this year, he's spending a lot of time, he's getting bigger, he's working hard in the weight room, but he will definitely be one of the fullbacks for a year from now.
Well, Skip, as always, appreciate you joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We'll have to do it again sometime soon.
Well, we definitely need to do it because we really haven't got into all the defense. I mean, we haven't done the receivers. We haven't done all the defensive line and all those young linebackers that we want to talk about. So we're definitely going to have to do this. We have to do it where we have some more time and we can really get in depth and talk about where this team is right now, because I know a lot was made of recruiting a year ago with the number of high school players that we brought into this program to build for the future. And there's a lot of talent in that class, and I think those guys are really going to be good, and it's going to be exciting to watch them grow up and play and grow and develop as football players and young men over the next couple of years.
Skip Holtz, appreciate it, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you, Jonathan. Have a good night.
You bet, man. Skip Holtz joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio on the Fairway Carts of Minden Hotline. Good stuff from Coach Holtz, as always. Let's take this break. This break brought to you, this segment brought to you by Brennan Dodge and Rustin, and also Dairy Queen, coming soon to Cooktown Road. Going to be alongside Brister's Smokehouse. Let's take this break. On the other side of the break, we'll wrap it up. I've got predictions on the outline, but obviously there are no predictions. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton and Tears in downtown Ruston, here on ESPN Radio 97.7. We just talked to Skip Holtz on the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline. Good stuff from Coach Holtz. We'll have that archived later on the Bleed Tech Blue Radio podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or even on BleedTechBlue.com. Chris is over here struggling with some Windows 8.
I don't use this stuff. Computers? I cook barbecue.
I cook barbecue. This smells like a barbecue. It's a good old internet meme for you there. Big time news about Kirby Wixon. Probably the best news Tech football's had probably going into next season, without a doubt. It's the biggest news. Kirby was slated to be the starter this year. Got hurt against Southern. Had to have shoulder surgery. There was a possibility that he would come back. David Mahaffey has filled in admirably in his absence. And even he comes back next year.
It's just more depth on the offensive line.
He mentioned 8 or 9 guys that have gotten experience this season at offensive line. That bodes well for Tech's offense next year. It's enormous. Chris, you still piddling around on to look at your
I've come across Massey ratings, and it's just, I might.
Now you see why Jason's addicted to that site.
It's great.
He's picking other teams. What did you come across for Tech Western Kentucky?
2-point spread, 36-34, 38-36. It's kind of what the line would be right now.
With Western Kentucky?
Western Kentucky with a slight edge. If we were to play Marshall, 30-27 Tech with a slight edge.
It's good stuff.
It's great. For all of those of you wondering about that Arkansas State New Orleans Bowl matchup, Tech would be a 4-point favorite, 38-34.
Nice segue. I did not pay you for that. A text on the Fairway Carts of Minden text line: I pray we don't get the New Orleans Bowl. Doesn't help the program to play and beat a no-name team, but it does hurt to lose to a Sun Belt team. Any other conference, even if we can't physically go to a game, just want the program to get a more well-known name. Beating Illinois, a Big Ten school like we did last year, really boosted the program and the momentum coming into this year. I just don't want to see a win over Appalachian State doing that.
Okay, I'm gonna disagree.
A win's a win.
A win's a win, but as a program, if you want to better the program, just going to any bowl game is going to better the program with practices. Think about what it does for the young people. Getting that experience.
The young people makes you sound like an old man.
I'm an old man. But look what it does for practicing. Look what it does for their experience of getting to travel to a bowl game, the excitement of getting their bowl packages. You know, just that experience is invaluable. But ask me any other program last year that played in a bowl game, what they did and who their opponent was.
Outside of the team you particularly watch, you don't have any idea who they play.
I don't, and I think I watch almost all bowl games, and I can't tell you hardly any of the matchups outside of probably the playoffs. Is it great for me as a fan to beat an Illinois?
For your fandom?
Yeah, absolutely. But as a bettering the program, you know, you're going to get paid the same no matter what bowl game you play in. It's going to be on the same TV. It's probably going to have just about the same rating.
Because ESPN owns every one of them at this point.
The same people are going to bet on it. They're going to people know Louisiana Tech, and it doesn't matter who you play in a bowl game. From a fan standpoint, it is – I mean, I would rather see a big-name opponent. But outside of that, I don't think that it matters that much.
Illinois knows they lost to Louisiana Tech. Louisiana Tech knows they beat Illinois, but outside of those two fan bases, not many know who either one of them played.
I agree. That's my point.
I just want to reiterate it.
It's iterated.
It was iterated once, so I had to reiterate it. I really like this Tech. Skip Holt said they've been looking forward, especially because bye weeks are used for a lot of for recruiting and evaluation purposes. You've got to like Tech's roster coming back next year. But the question marks at quarterback are concerning.
Well, anytime you've got – what have we seen with – who is probably the leader in the clubhouse right now? Ryan Higgins.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's his job to lose.
Yeah, but we've had a very small sampling of him as a quarterback, and that small sampling wasn't great. So there's always going to be that question mark.
But on that flip side, or on talking on that point, how bad did Colby Cameron look early in his career?
That's right. And if we would have written him off, he would have not been the quarterback he ended up being. But both of them come down to the offensive line, and what Skip talked about is we've talked about how much better the offensive line will be coming back and the experience that they've had. So in that standpoint, that's one less thing and a new quarterback has to worry about.
So since you're a hypothetical guy, let me ask you this one. If Jamar Smith or Price Wilson are close to as good as Ryan Higgins, if you're Skip Holtz, who do you choose?
I go with the younger guy, no question. I mean, I've watched some of them play in practice. I love Jamar. Just looks fantastic to me. But I'm as much of a quarterback coach and an evaluator as Skip probably is a barbecue connoisseur. I mean, you know, I mean that's just true. I mean, he passes the eye test, but what's he going to do when the lights are on and he's playing against another team?
The thing that Jamar Smith brings to the table, more so than Ryan Higgins or Price Wilson, is his athleticism. Ryan Higgins is more athletic than Price. Jamar Smith's more athletic than both of them.
I'm fine going with early growing pains for 3 or 4 years of success in a stable quarterback. Don't get me wrong. I have loved having Cody Sokol and Jeff Driscoll as our starting quarterbacks, and they've been phenomenal. But having somebody that you can enjoy watching and grow for 3 or 4 years would be so fun to get behind, almost like a Tim Rattay, a Luke McCown, where you watched them for 4 years in a program, and by the end of that third, fourth year, you knew what you had coming back, and it was exciting. No matter what was around it, you knew you had that guy coming back, and it just gets fans, I don't know, riled up.
Giddy.
Yeah.
So did you agree with my statement to Coach Holtz that Jeff Driscoll, albeit a 1 year, will go down as one of the best quarterbacks to ever play here? Of course, you've got Terry Bradshaw there. You've got Tim Rattay there. You've got Matt Dunnigan there. There's lots of good quarterbacks that have come out of this place.
Look, I agree. I think he is, and I think he'll be on the list. You know, he's top, what, six, definitely. But I'm going to flip that around and say that Louisiana Tech has been as good, if not better, for Jeff Driscoll than anything else.
It's hard to argue that.
That dude has come in here, and it's kind of one of those trades that go down that both think you got a good deal. We did. He got a great deal coming here. It revamped his career. It let him be the quarterback that most people thought he was going to be going into college. And then he gave us, I mean, he's given us 7 wins so far and stability in the position and something that's been fun to watch. He's made all of his players around him better. His parents were in the smokehouse on Saturday, and they were just so giddy that he had came to Louisiana Tech. It was almost like it's almost like he just had a second coming of Jeff Driscoll. They were so happy. They were so just thankful that he was given this opportunity at Louisiana Tech, and the fans have been also.
I know you're a hypothetical guy, and we'll continue on that line. Can you imagine how much better Florida would be if they still had him? I mean, Florida's having a good year. I mean, you get Jim McElwain, who's a good quarterbacks coach. Do you think it would have changed because of even though he was the fans had given up on Jeff Driscoll?
Yeah, but it's so unfair to Jeff Driscoll.
Oh, it's absolutely completely unfair.
What was you somebody was telling me, I think it was Patrick Walsh, was he and I were talking about all the offensive coordinators that he had. Would he have 3 and 4 years? And it's basically,
care to guess who his first offensive coordinator was in college?
I have no idea.
Charlie Weiss.
Yeah, well there you go. But it, I mean, it's basically like you or I, 1 year learning French, the next year you're learning Spanish, and then the next year learning Japanese. I mean, how often are you going to – what?
At any rate,
you
have, he learned Russian really this, week, this year.
Yeah, and just
– but realistic Florida fans should be kicking themselves that he's gone. Because with Jim McElwain, they would be really good. And I'm not saying Louisiana Tech shouldn't be very thankful that he's here, because they should be. But just talking hypothetically here.
Things happen for a reason. He's here. He's thankful. We're thankful. And Florida's got one loss. You know, they do, and they've got a really good football team. I think they're thankful that they've got a new coach.
And his name's not Will Muschamp.
Yeah.
Have you heard the people that call him Gus Champ now?
Yeah, it's a mix between
Gus Malzahn
and Gus Champ.
Good stuff. Well, Chris, I really appreciate you joining me here, filling in for Jason this week. Programming note, we will not have a show next week, and the week after that is Thanksgiving. And just stay tuned to BleedTechBlue.com for some podcast-only editions of Bleed Tech Blue Radio with Jason Jones and myself. For John Tabor on the ones and the twos, good job as always. Dialing the phones, getting us all sounding good and stuff. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. This season brought to you by Trent and Tears in downtown Ruston. Go see those guys. We'll be back in 3 weeks. See you then.
Listen for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors, every Tuesday, 6 to 7:30 p.m. Go deep inside tech football, basketball, and recruiting with your host, Jonathan Ford. Our show is also brought to you by your 26 area local State Farm agents, Brister's Smokehouse, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, and Gary Stokely, Keller Williams Realty, as well as your hotline sponsor, Fairway Cards. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7.